I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. Ephesians chapter 4. I failed to mention earlier that Pastor Alleman and his family are away this week getting a little bit of R&R. And so if you'll pray for them, I know that they would appreciate that very, very much. Well, for several months now, we have been in a study in the book of Ephesians. And a few weeks back, we kind of turned the corner in the book. We're in chapter 4, verse 2, and we're taking a very slow curve as we turn the corner, okay? We've kind of parked here in verse 2 a little bit, and we don't often do this, but center an entire message around one word, and we've done that here the last couple of messages in Ephesians, and we're going to do that again here today. We'll be in verse 2, and we're going to park on the word long-suffering, but allow me to read verses 1 and 2. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Father, we have opened your word. We have read your word this morning. And Father, I pray that you would help us to consciously view these words as from you. Or this is instruction that you are giving us today. And God, I pray that it would just resonate in our heart. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. May we be good hearers of the word of God. But Lord, may we also be good responders to your truth. Lord, I pray that you would be honored and glorified through the preaching of your word today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give us just a little bit of background. We've had a couple of week break here since we were in the book of Ephesians. So let me remind you of a few things. The first three chapters, we looked at the glories of the gospel. The amazing glories of the gospel in the fact that we are chosen by God, we are redeemed, we are forgiven of our sin, and the list kind of goes on and on. We're recipients of his love and his mercy, all that's entailed about the gospel in those first three chapters. And Paul makes a significant transition as we start chapter 4. And he says, therefore, hey, I'm begging you, I'm urging you, that you walk, that you live, that you behave, that you act worthy or in accordance with who you are in Jesus Christ. Remember, we talked about the word worthy. It means a scale that balances out, that one side corresponds to the other. He's saying, look, I want you to live, I want you to behave in a way that corresponds with the fact that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. God has radically changed you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, that we are new creations in Jesus Christ. You're different. You're a new man. Now live like it, is what he's saying. So in verse 2, he says, you are to live out the gospel in humility. We looked at that a few weeks back. You are to live it out with meekness. And today we're going to look at the idea of living the gospel with patience, with patience. As we looked at humility, we said humility is giving an honest assessment of ourselves in light of who God is and who we are. A few weeks back, we looked at meekness. We said that meekness is a humble, gentle spirit that quietly submits to God's sovereign will and responds to other people in a kind manner, absent of anger or revenge. And then the typical definition that we give to meekness, it is strength or power under control. But today we come to this subject of patience. Can I dare say this is a practical subject? Anyone ever struggle with patience? Let me give you a description, all right? See if you've ever experienced anything like this. Maybe it's a typical day. You get up, you get a nice hot shower, you have some breakfast, spend a little time in your Bible, and you're off running in your day. Depending on your situation and your circumstance, maybe on that particular day, the children are whiny and they're self-centered. They're constantly needing mom. Any moms ever experienced that? Oh, come on now. I'm not seeing too many hands. Any moms ever experienced that? You're not being honest here this morning, okay? All right. Your computer, it goes on the fritz. And you're speaking with a technician in another country who can barely understand you and you can't understand them. You're already frustrated because your computer's on the fritz. And boy, you're really frustrated because you can't get a solution. You sit in the doctor's office. Your appointment's at 1 o'clock. The doctor finally sees you at 2:15. You know, patience. You're cut off in traffic. You're just ticked off, you know. It's like, hey, you know, and, you know, somebody cut you off. Your child forgot to bring home their homework for the third day in a row. You know, you said, look, you've got to bring that home. You will bring it home tomorrow, you know. You're in the grocery store. You're in a bit of a hurry. You go through the fast checkout lane, you know, that's supposed to be 20 items or not under, and the person in front of you has to have at least 63 items. The appliance repairman shows up 3 hours late. As an employee or as a coworker, you've given repeated instructions to someone that you work with, and they just don't seem to get it, and they keep messing up. You place an order online for a gift for someone. It never shows up. You call the company, and they have no record of your order whatsoever. And the list could go on, and it could go on, and it could go on. As people, we get frustrated. We demonstrate a lack of patience with other people regularly. But God is instructing us right here in His Word. He's saying, look, you need to live out the gospel with patience. Let's see, first of all, what patience is this morning, okay? What is patience? If you take this word right out of Scripture in the original language, it simply means this. It's the combination of two different words. It means to be long-tempered. To be long-tempered. Now, in our day, the opposite we would say is somebody has a short fuse. They're not patient with people. The opposite of that is being long-tempered or long-fused, we might say. Now, unique facet of this term is it focuses primarily on patience with people and not so much circumstances. Now, God expects us and wants us to be patient in our circumstances. Circumstances sometimes that He brings about in our life that we have no control over. But the primary emphasis of this particular term in Scripture is patience with other people. So that'll be our focus here this morning. A writer of bygone days said it this way, "It is the grace of the man who could avenge himself and who does not." Patience. Let me define it this way for us here this morning. The Spirit-produced ability to refrain from responding or retaliating in anger to the provocations and irritations from other people. It's the Spirit-produced ability. It's the work of the Spirit of God in us. It's in the list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It's the Spirit-produced ability not to respond in anger or frustration to the provocations and the irritations of other people. I want us to see, first of all, secondly this morning, a picture of patience. That's what patience is. Let's see it pictured here this morning. And I want us to see it pictured in both God the Father and in Jesus Christ, all right? First of all, Exodus 34, in regard to God the Father. It says, and the Lord passed before him. Let me give you a little context. This is Moses, all right? He's already been up on the Mount of Sinai one time. He has been given the Ten Commandments. He comes down off of the mountain. The children of Israel have made a golden calf. They are worshiping this calf. He throws down the tablets. They break apart. And then shortly after the golden calf incident, God calls him back up to Mount Sinai. And so this is the context of this verse. This is Moses. God is passing before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. This is really, in essence, God declaring truths about his own nature. And he's saying, look, I'm long-suffering. If you were to look further in that particular chapter, immediately after this, Moses falls down and he begins worshiping God. But God declares about himself, he says, I am a long-suffering God. We find in Numbers 14, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. God is a patient God. Psalm 103 in verse 8, the Lord is merciful, as we've sung about here this morning, and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He's slow to become angry. He's a patient God. Psalm 86, verses 14 and 15, it says, O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and in truth. He's a long-suffering, patient God. It's repeated again and again and again. We come to the book of Romans, chapter 2. Paul is addressing a group of people who would consider themselves religious and moral. Religious and moral. They haven't truly believed in Jesus Christ, but they see their self-righteousness as being something that would gain them favor or merit with God. And in writing to these individuals, Paul says this, in thinking that your self-righteousness will get you somewhere, do you despise the riches of his goodness and his forbearance, his withholding of judgment, and his long suffering, his patience, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. He's saying, look, your moral behavior, it's good, but it's not going to gain you favor with God. Your self-righteousness is not going to attain you a place in heaven. Are you just disregarding? Are you not paying attention to the long-suffering, the patient goodness of God? It is that which will bring you to repentance. It's that which brings all men to repentance. Aren't you glad for the patience of God in your life? I'm going to ask that one more time. Aren't you glad for the patience of God in your life? Yes. Amen. All right, I thought you were not with me there for a minute, okay? All right, yes. We're recipients of the patience of God. What an incredible, incredible blessing. We come to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, another verse that merits just a little bit of explanation. In this particular verse that I've chosen, it says, which sometimes were disobedient. Peter is talking about a particular group of demons that, if we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, kind of cross the threshold of God's mercy. And since the days of Noah, they have been enchained in the abyss. And so that's who he's referring to there, which sometimes were disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God, the patience of God, waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, How long was that? 120 years. 120 years, the patience of God. He says, I'm going to allow Noah to build this ark as I've instructed him. And all the while, the Bible tells us that he was a preacher of righteousness. And for 120 years, he proclaimed, hey, you want to escape the judgment of God. This is how you do it. This is the safety net. This is the ark. And he proclaimed that. That's the patience of God, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Think about that. As I was studying that this week, it just hit me anew and afresh. Here Noah preached for 120 years, and he only had eight people, his family, that bought into what he was saying, God's truth. But yet, God was patient. God gave ample time, more than ample time, for people to hear his truth, to believe it, to accept what he was saying. He is a patient, patient God. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, his eternal plan, as some men count slackness, but what? He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I alluded to this just a moment ago, but can you think about the time when you got saved? Everybody's testimony is a little different. And no matter what your testimony is, it is just as miraculous because you're a recipient of the grace of God. But some of you can recall circumstances in your life where you just rejected God, you maybe cursed God, you didn't want anything to do with God, and yet God was patient. And he brought people in your life that pointed you to Jesus. He brought circumstances in your life that pointed you to himself. That's just the patience of God. And oh, how often we are just ready to let the lightning bolt fall on someone just so quickly. And aren't you glad that God doesn't treat us that way? He's a patient, patient God. He's long-suffering, and his heart is not that any should perish. You know, this is pictured in God the Father, but it's also pictured in the Scriptures in the life of Jesus Christ. You know, we come to Isaiah 53, wonderful, wonderful text, where it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We're kind of doing our own thing, going our own way, doing what we think is best. And the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. And he was oppressed, and he was afflicted. And yet, he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Patiently, Jesus endured the plan of God, the rescue plan, the redemption plan for all mankind as a sheep before his shears. You know, we, a few years back, covered the Sermon on the Mount. And I even touched on this past Wednesday night in our study out of the book of Proverbs. But Jesus is preaching that famous sermon out of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus says, I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know, we can just kind of blaze by that and say, wow, that sounds good. Amen. But just park there for just a second and think about what Jesus was teaching, what he emulated in his own life in regard to this. Love your enemies. Think of someone maybe in your life, either in the past or presently, that really despises you. That person at work, maybe, who just likes to push your buttons and really tries to just create havoc in your life. Maybe a family member that you are at odds with, and they just don't like you. I don't think very many of us can truly say we have enemies that hate us, that would wish to do us harm. But when we do, what's Jesus say? Love them. Love them. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them. That's a tall order, folks. We don't operate that way in our own flesh, in our own humanity. We only operate that way through the power of God's grace in our life. But that is a demonstration of patience. Again, not wanting the lightning bolt to fall on someone because they're against us. But by God's grace, we would love them, we would do good to them, we would pray for them. That's patience. 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16, Paul writes, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Amen. He says, "Of whom I'm chief." Paul considered himself the number one sinner of all mankind. "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering and patience for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." You know, there are some who are convinced in and of themselves that they are beyond the grace of God. There would be some in this world who would say, "I've done too many wrong things. I am past the grace of God." There would be some who we look at and we would view they are past the patience and the grace of God. And what Paul is saying is this. He's saying, look, I am a testimony to someone who hated God, who was against God, who thought that somehow he was doing God a favor by trying to stamp out Christianity. He persecuted Christians. He killed Christians. And he's saying, God never gave up on me. I'm a recipient of the patience of Jesus Christ. And it was on that beautiful, wonderful day on the road to Damascus that Jesus had the encounter with the Apostle Paul. And Paul became a converted man. It was through the patience of Jesus Christ. And in essence, Paul is saying this, don't ever give up on anybody because God doesn't. Don't ever think that somebody is too far gone. Don't ever think that they are beyond the grace of God because he says, look, Jesus was patient with me and he'll be patient with others as well. So we see examples of patience. Examples that we need to reflect on often and really just review in our mind of how patient, how long-suffering God is with us prior to our coming to know Jesus Christ and after, as a child of his, as our Father, he's patient with us. Anybody mess up this week? Okay, about half of you are honest. Okay, I need to preach on honesty here, okay? No, I'm teasing with you, all right? Yes, we messed up. We've done wrong, and God's patient with us. He's a patient, patient Father. But as we're looking here in our text in Ephesians, that the transforming power of the gospel should be flowing through us, that in our relationships, in our service for Christ, that we indeed are patient people. So thirdly this morning, I want us to look at the practice of patience. The practice of patience. And first of all, patience with people. Patience with people. And that's kind of our focus here this morning. Colossians 3:12 says this, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, or patience." In essence, Paul is writing in Colossians the very same thing he's writing in the book of Ephesians. As a child of God, almost like a coat or an article of clothing, you put on patience and live in accordance with who you are in Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14, it says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded," or that is the faint-hearted, "support the weak, and be patient toward all men." Let's be honest. In our humanity, we sometimes struggle with being patient toward all men. If you've been married for any length of time, there may be a habit in your spouse's life that, if you're honest, irritates you. It frustrates you. God says, be patient. Be patient. You know, there may be, as a parent here this morning, a habit in one of your children's lives. It just frustrates you. You've addressed it. You've told them 1,400 times, don't do that. You've addressed it again and again and again and again, and it still seems to exist. Now, that doesn't mean that we stop addressing it, and maybe discipline is in order, but overriding all of that is patience. Patience. Allowing God to do His work. It could be that you have a child that has just chosen to reject God's truth, to rebel against God's truth, and just kind of do their own thing and go their own way. And it grieves your heart this morning. Be patient. Continue to pray. Continue to love them. Seek God's face. Say, oh God, would you do a work in their heart? God, would you bring them back to yourself? But be patient with them. Don't come to the place where you just kind of cut them off and you have zero relationship with them and you have no interaction with them. Be patient with them in that situation. You know, every day of the week we encounter people in different places in our culture, people who provide services for us. There will be a number of you who will go out somewhere to eat for lunch today. And inevitably, someone in this crowd today will have a waitress or a waiter that's just going to mess up. They're going to mess up your order. Something's not going to go right. How do you respond to that? You know, it's just a horrid testimony when we just kind of lose it. And we climb the case of that waitress or that waiter, and we are just rude and ungodly in our spirit. You know, and that could be applied to, you know, the individual who works on your car. It could be applied to the cashier at the store. And when we just have that short fuse and we just kind of get in their face and we're ugly about it, that's a horrid testimony for Jesus Christ. Now, we all struggle with that. There's not a one of us in here that are above the temptations to do that, the inclinations to do that. But by God's grace, we need to be patient people, patient with others. You know, we need to be patient with people in this church. I promise you that if you're here long enough, okay, and you really, we act as a community, we work together, we love each other, we kind of live life together, there's going to be someone in this church that just by their personality, their characteristic, it just rubs you the wrong way. It's going to happen. It's just people. It's people being with people. And we've got to be patient with one another. We've got to be long-suffering and not have that short fuse where when somebody just does that one little thing that we really, really irritates us, that we're just ready and willing to drop the hammer on them. But that by God's grace, we are patient, patient people. Is this kind of right where we live? It is, isn't it? It's right where I live. You know, probably, and I've told you this before, but there's an area that I struggle with the most is, you know, on long trips driving down the, you know, the interstate or whatever, and you just get crazy drivers, you know, somebody who cuts you off, somebody who does that, you know, in my spirit, ooh, you know, I just want to, you know, don't do that, you know, and I somehow I want to get back. And that's one area for me where I've just got to really, really work at being patient. Maybe it's a different area for you, but God wants us to be patient people. Let me give you another thought here in fleshing out patience, and that's patience in ministry. Patience in ministry. 2 Timothy 2:24. Now, granted, this is in the context of Paul writing to Timothy as a pastor, but these applications can be applied to all of us as we serve God in a variety of different ways. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, must not be quarrelsome, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. You know, when we're ministering to others, God says we've got to be patient. You know, sometimes the parent-child relationship, or maybe working with a younger believer, that boy, there's mess-ups and there's hang-ups and there's failures, you know, all over the place. And we've just got to be patient with people as they walk with the Lord. We all mess up. You know, as we were looking at 1 and 2 Corinthians in adult Bible study this morning, I was reminding our class, you know, sometimes people view the church. If you go to church on a regular basis, wow, I mean, your life must just like be right next to being perfect. I mean, you know, you've got to be angelic or something, you know? But this is reality. Every single one of us here in this room this morning, we're just a bunch of messed up people. I've come to encourage you this morning, okay? All right? We're just a bunch of messed up people who only have a relationship with God by His grace. We only do right by His grace. We're not perfect people. And we've got to be patient in ministering to and with each other. Paul says this in 2 Timothy 4:2. He's saying, hey, preach the word. Declare the gospel. Proclaim God's truth. Be instant in season, out of season. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with patience and doctrine. You know, when somebody maybe does have a blind spot in their life, that we come alongside and we lovingly confront with truth, but we do so with patience, saying, hey, come on, let's do this together, let's work at this together, and we patiently try to help people. That's God's plan as we minister. You know, we live in a society where we want quick results. On many different levels, we want to be able to kind of stick it in the microwave, you know, press a button, and 1 minute later, it's done, it's finished. Life doesn't work that way. Ministry doesn't work that way. And it requires patience with people. One other area I want us to explore this morning is patience in God's plan. Patience in God's plan. You know, if there was an individual in Scripture who had to be patient with the plan of God, it was Abraham. Remember when Abraham was about 75? God came to him and said, hey, I've got a promise for you. We read about that in Hebrews 6. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Who was the one patiently enduring? It was Abraham. It was about 25 years before God's promise became a reality in his life. God said, I'm going to give you a son. Now, along the way, Abraham struggled a little bit. Now, we find in the Word of God in Romans 4 that it says he staggered not at the promise of God. You say, now, wait a minute. Time out. You know, that doesn't coincide with the Genesis account. You know, Abraham struggled. Yes, he did struggle, but I think when Paul was writing that in Romans, he was saying he never passed over into the realm of, I just don't believe God. He struggled, but he didn't just dismiss God's promise altogether. But he believed God. Kind of fluctuated in that level of belief from time to time, but he believed God, he endured, he was patient with the promise of God, and God finally brought it to pass. You realize that our timetable is not always God's timetable? Ever struggle with that? God, I want it now. God, you promised. God, you said, why aren't you coming through, God? And like Abraham, we may need to be very, very patient. Trust God and know that God's timing is always better than our timing. God's timing is perfect. And folks, that's not always easy. But in relation to God's plan, we need to be patient, patient people. Let me go back to Noah for just a moment. As I alluded to Noah just a moment ago, for 120 years, he built the ark. He patiently built. He patiently did exactly as God told him to do. He patiently preached. And only 8 people bought in. Only 8 people believed. James writes in James 5 in verse 10, take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. You know, you read in the, particularly the minor prophets, you know, there were some struggles that went on with many of the prophets. You take the prophet Jeremiah, who primarily ministered in Judah, and he just preached God's truth and preached God's truth and preached God's truth, and God basically told him up front, they're not going to listen to you, they're not going to hear you. But he kept preaching, and along the way, and this is a fascinating study. I would encourage you to just flesh this out sometime in the life of Jeremiah. But there were people who wanted to kill him. He was beaten. He was put in stocks. He experienced social rejection, mockings, and public ridicule. He was accused of treason. He was beaten and placed in a dungeon. He was imprisoned in a muddy cistern. And that's a fraction of what Jeremiah went through. For 40 years, he's known as the weeping prophet. He faithfully ministered, he faithfully proclaimed God's truth, although people all around him rejected it, they hated him, and they wanted to do him harm. But he stuck with it. Now, history tells us that at the end of his life, he was taken in chains as in exile to Babylon. He eventually ended up in Egypt, and he was stoned in Egypt. Not by any account would we say, oh, Jeremiah had a successful life. But he was successful in the eyes of God because he did exactly what God told him to do. He stuck with it. He was faithful to the end. You know, you may be struggling here today with God's plan for your life. There's a circumstance that hasn't been there just for a couple of days. It's been there for a long time. Maybe it's an illness, such as cancer or some other physically debilitating illness that you're struggling with. It's been a long time. There's a lot of pain involved. There doesn't seem to be much relief. Can I encourage you this morning? Be patient where God has put you. Be patient. Know that God hasn't abandoned you. God hasn't left you. God is a loving heavenly Father who cares about you, and he hasn't brought this circumstance in your life just because. There's a purpose in it. Be patient. You know, there's some of you here this morning that currently you're single. You're not married. Oh man, you would love to be married. And God hasn't brought that right person in your life. Be patient. Be patient. You know, I heard a statement many, many years ago when we worked with a singles group in Denver, and we were at a retreat at the Wilds when they had a camp in Colorado. And the speaker said, there is something far worse than being single. He said, it's being married to the wrong person. And you know, folks, there's a lot of truth to that. A lot of truth to that. Be patient. There's some married couples here that you'd love to have children. God just hasn't seen fit to do that. Be patient. Be patient in God's timing. Whatever circumstance God has placed you in right now, be patient where God has placed you. Let me close out this morning by giving you just a couple practical things of growing in patience. Growing in patience. Number one, reflect often on the patience of God towards you. Folks, I think we need to do that daily. Daily. Just reflect on how patient God has been with you. Some of the verses that I've given you this morning, look those up. Look others up and saying, God, you are a long-suffering, you're a patient God. Thank you for your patience with me. You've been so patient with me. And this next one is going to hit some of you a little odd, all right? But pray for patience. Pray for patience. You know, I think we've bought into this unbiblical concept that Christians should never pray for patience, because if you are stupid enough to pray for patience, that God's going to bring all kinds of circumstances in your life that are going to be horrible, and that's how he's going to teach you patience. There's nothing in Scripture that says don't pray for patience. In fact, it's just the opposite. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, just a little bit over. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Paul is praying for the believers at Colossae, and he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Does that sound familiar? Same concept that we're looking at in Ephesians 4 and verse 2, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, in that particular verse, in verse 11, we see patience and long-suffering. The word patience there in the King James Version is primarily an emphasis on patience with circumstances. The long-suffering is the word that we're looking at here this morning, is the patience with people. And so Paul is praying for these believers. God, would you help them to be patient in their circumstances and patient with people? It's scriptural to pray for patience. And to think otherwise is just buying into some notion that somehow all kinds of bad things are going to come in my life. We need to pray, God, help me be patient. God, help me be patient with my spouse. God, help me be patient with my kids, my coworkers, that neighbor that drives me absolutely nuts. God, help me be patient. And as we reflect on the patience of God, as we pray for patience, as we allow the Spirit of God to work in our life, that we are inwardly seeing patience being produced by the Spirit of God, and it's flowing out of us only by his grace. One final statement. When we manifest Spirit-produced patience, we demonstrate to others what God is like, and he gets the glory. And may we be regularly demonstrating that God is a patient God. Father, I pray this morning that you would take your word and would you just bury it deep in our hearts. God, we admittedly, in our humanness, in our flesh, in our frailty, we fail in this area. We are far too often prone to be impatient, irritated, frustrated individuals who act out in anger towards others. God, you are so patient with us. For those of us who have believed and trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior this morning, we're the recipients of your patience. We've been transformed by the glorious power of the gospel. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be patient people. Help us to reflect your character in our lives. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that has never accepted Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, that they'll realize you're a patient God, you're a loving God, and your offer is extended to them today. And that today would be the day of salvation. That today would be the day that they would put their trust in Jesus alone for their eternal salvation. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.